Are you confused about real food and what's healthy and good for the planet? Do you need the facts about local, organic, and sustainable food? Well, get ready to change the way you eat. Get ready for The Appropriate Omnivore with Aaron Zober.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of The Appropriate Omnivore. I'm your host, Aaron Zober. As this is the September podcast, that means fall is coming, summer is over, and people are going back to their regular busy schedules. And with the return to a hectic lifestyle, people often fall off the wagon of eating real food. Here to provide some tips about how we can maintain eating and living healthy on a busy schedule is holistic health coach Ellen Jaworski of Triple Peak Wellness. Ellen, it's great to have you on this program.
I'm so excited to be here, Aaron. Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yes, I'm glad we were able to get time to do this. We met about a month ago at the Ancestral Health Symposium, where there are just so many great people, I thought, there. And so when I met you, I felt you would make a great addition to a guest on this program.
Thank you. Yeah, it was a great conference. It was a pleasure to meet you. And it's amazing how that conference just brings together so many smart, knowledgeable, passionate people. So it was just a pleasure to be counted among those ranks.
That's a lot of what I like about it. That was my first one. And I like the idea that it is a little smaller, as well as it has a little bit more of an academic aspect to it. It attracts a certain group of people where you all get to know each other because it is a little smaller and you have this interest in being there for a very academic, intellectual reason.
I so agree with that. That was my second Ancestral Health Symposium. And I agree, it's a very different vibe than some of the other Ancestral Health or paleo-themed conferences where it really is focused on the science. And you're sitting in some of the talks or the presentations, and it can get pretty complex with the information that's being presented. I will not lie, there were certainly bits and pieces of information that flew over my head talking about organic chemistry and this and that. I don't know if you had a similar experience.
I did, but absolutely. There certainly were some panels like that. But on the other hand, there were some panels that were really great, and I felt really they were speaking my language. Overall, it was excellent. And so,
agreed.
Right. For the listeners that are interested in attending it, it's going to be taking a year off next year, but then in 2021, it's the 10th year anniversary, coming back to where it all started at UCLA. So I know I'll be there because I live in LA, so that's easy for me. You think you'll attend?
Ooh, lucky. Yeah, definitely. I didn't know that they're taking a year off, so that's news to me. Thanks for sharing that.
Right, and you used to live in LA, so you can see your old stomping grounds.
Exactly. I always love an excuse to get back down to Los Angeles, so I'm excited that it's going to be there.
Right, and it was in San Diego this year, also at a UC school. So I'm wondering, will they just do all UC schools for the conferences? I'd be up for that. That's easy for me if they do UC Berkeley again or UC Santa Barbara.
I think so. That seems to be the trend that they've been going with. The year it was in Seattle, it was at the University of Washington. So it seems like they're onto something.
That's good. Yeah, well, I think because we were talking about how it is kind of more academic and scientific. So the university setting works really well for it.
It does.
When I saw you at the conference, we were at that happy hour, and you told me a little about what your business is. So why don't you tell the listeners more of specifically what you do with holistic health coaching?
Yeah, absolutely. So my name is Ellen Jaworski, as Aaron said, and I am a holistic health coach and speaker, and I am in private practice. My practice is called Triple Peak Wellness. And I specifically work with busy, successful women to help them lose weight without adding another to-do to their list. So this kind of ties back into my own story. I work with the women who are just very career focused. They've dedicated their lives to their jobs. They're crushing it at work. They're go-getters. They're driven. They're motivated. They're doing so many amazing things in their life. And health might not have just been on their radar. It's kind of fallen outside of the scope of things that they're paying attention to. And they've woken up one day and realized that they're not performing at their best, or they're not feeling their best, or they're not living their life to their full potential, as cliche as it sounds. But for a lot of us, that's a real concern. And so I just love working with these women, taking a real natural, holistic approach. And what I mean by that, because we hear the word holistic everywhere. So what does that actually mean? But It really is about looking at the whole, looking at everything that's going into weight loss and health, not just counting calories or not just exercising, because people are so much more than just an equation. I started my own journey thinking calories in, calories out was the way to go. And as I'm sure I'll explain, that didn't work for me. And it doesn't work for a lot of other men and women out there who are trying to lose weight. So in my practice, what I really focus on is helping people take their bad habits and transform them into good, healthy habits. Health coaching is not just about telling people, here, eat this, don't eat this, move this way, don't move this way, do this, don't do that. It's not about that. It's about partnering with the client to help them figure out what's going to work for them. Because I'm sure you could write down a list of 10 more things that you could be doing to be healthy, right?
Of course.
Yeah, we all could. And the question is, are you actually going to do them? And so that's the beauty of health coaching, is really working with people to not just make change, but make sustainable change, change that's going to last, because it doesn't make sense to do anything else. It becomes your new normal, your new way of being.
And you talked a little bit earlier about how you hear the word holistic a lot. Do you think that that's a bit of an overused word?
Yes, I think that it is starting to become something that we're just hearing so often. It reminds me of a couple of years ago when all the companies were putting natural on their products. And a lot of us were scratching our heads saying, well, what does natural even mean? Doesn't actually give a product a certain qualification. It's kind of just a very vague word. So as the functional medicine arena, as holistic health is becoming more and more popular, I think we're hearing the word holistic thrown around very much in the same way that natural was for food products a few years ago.
That's a very good analogy with the natural. I think I feel with holistic is, I think it's maybe even somewhat worse. It's a little bit misleading, because when we think of holistic, strikes up kind of new age, almost kind of magical. And it almost sort of, I think, takes away from the fact that this is science. This is not fringe medicine.
Yeah, that's a great point. It is something that is relatively vague. And, you know, it'd be really interesting to do a poll of 100 people on the street. And how would they describe holistic? Because I've done a little mini tester of that among friends. And some people are like, oh, yeah, you know, functional medicine, talking about the whole person, not just part of it, getting to the root cause. And then there are others who say exactly what you're saying, where, oh, that sounds kind of woo-woo, or like, I don't actually know what that means. Or I hear it a lot, but I'm a little confused about that.
Right. With people I know that aren't in this circle of natural health. Oh, I said natural. Maybe that's not the right way to call
Uh-oh.
It. But that's the question, is what is the better word? So I like something like functional medicine, or I think I use sometimes like preventative medicine.
Yeah, I think preventative is definitely a powerful one. And that's a great word for people who don't even understand what functional medicine means, because I think that while functional medicine isn't overused to the point where holistic medicine is, a lot of people don't understand what functional medicine means. So preventative, I think, gives a clearer picture, especially for those who come from a more conventional medicine background or a more traditional standard American diet. I like that. Maybe we should create some change at the next AHS and start shopping that one around.
Oh, I think so, yes. And I can start saying it at the Western Price Chapter meetings and conferences and other ones too, because I do attend a lot of these conferences. I also attend the Natural Products Expo West, so I can do it there. And I like the term preventative, because it very much, I feel, describes what our goal is. I think so much of medicine is we treat people when they're sick. Preventative medicine goes for making people healthy before the problems are there.
Yes, 100%. That is a huge part of the work that I do with my clients, because I say that weight loss is my focus, but ultimately weight loss, sustainable weight loss specifically, is a side effect of your body getting healthy, of decreasing inflammation, of moving from a stress state into a relaxation state. It's about overall health, not just losing weight. And so it's so important to factor that into the bigger picture.
Right. It's kind of the whole health. I mean, there's another word we use, which I don't know if do you think that's a good word or not, where you use whole. I mean, things like Whole Foods. And I know there's a number of other businesses where they use that W word.
Absolutely. That's a big one, too. And I think that that kind of ties into that holistic approach as well. But it is kind of confusing. I heard clean eating. That's become a really popular term in the last couple of years. And I think that that's caught on enough that people know what we're saying when we say clean eating. I hope so, because I use it a lot.
I think so. I guess my only thought about the term clean eating is it does apply to a lot of different diets. And so that's my one concern is that it could apply potentially to vegan or low fat diet. That's my only concern.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think that whether it's applied to vegan or low fat, ultimately it is the way that I view clean eating, which is eating more of those foods that come from the earth, foods that are unprocessed, foods that are as close to the earth as possible. I'm trying to prevent myself from saying the word whole foods, but there you are. So even if someone is cleaning up their vegan diet or cleaning up their low fat diet, while those certainly aren't the diets that I would point people in the direction of, I think there is value in taking a clean approach to those diets, because the more refined foods that we're cutting out, the more processed foods, ultimately the better.
Yes, very true about the processed foods. I will say that they do have similar views to us. There's some obviously differing views, but ultimately they are concerned too about eating more, I'm going to say natural ingredients and go against what we just said. But yeah, eating more real ingredients. I mean, there's another word, real. And you do see you do see with these vegan physicians and nutritionists that there is some things in common. They are for eliminating sugars, refined flours, and vegetable oils. So there is some overlap. And I think the eating clean is maybe not such a bad thing, because everyone who uses it is kind of at the same goal. And I can't lie that if you see a lot of my Instagram posts, I do use the hashtag eat clean. So I have to say, a lot of these ones aren't perfect, but I still do use them. I mean, I do also use holistic, when I talk about typically holistic grazing or holistic management, getting on the agriculture side of it, that seems to be the accepted term with it, so people can find the word. So I do use it, and that is part of it, is it is part of just, even if you don't totally agree with it, I think you sometimes have to use the word so people can find you.
Yes, absolutely. And then once people kind of get a vague understanding of what you're talking about, then hopefully they'll get into your universe a little bit more and really figure out what your philosophy is.
Right. Everyone has their first time of finding this. So going with that, how did you find this and get into holistic health coaching?
Oh, man, my story is a twisty, windy story, and it starts in Los Angeles in the television industry. So back in 2011, I had moved to Los Angeles, ready to pursue a career in the television industry as an art director. So I was one of the people dealing with the scenery for live TV shows. And I didn't know the first thing about nutrition. I was never an athlete. I always just ate what I wanted. And that would often include boxes of Teddy Grahams, bags of candy corn when it was the right season. And so needless to say, my nutrition was not doing much for myself. The thing about the TV industry, as I'm sure you understand, is that it can be pretty grueling. The hours, the schedule demands, they are intense. So I got my break working on this singing competition show called The X Factor. And we were doing 12 to 14 hour days, sometimes 7 days a week. So I would be at work a lot. And on TV sets, on film sets, they have what's called the craft services table. And that's basically a huge snack table where you can go pick up food anytime you want. And the food on that table is the opposite of ancestral health or paleo or whatever you want to call it. It is often loaded with cookies, candy, donuts. Sometimes there would be fruit, but who's going to choose the fruit when you've got a pack of mini Snickers there? I certainly wasn't going to.
And a lot of times it's not organic fruit also. That's the other thing. Sometimes, maybe it's a little better, but like an apple, oof, that's sprayed with a lot of pesticides.
Yum. Yeah, so I was at this point in my career where I was new, I was trying to figure it out, and because of that, I was so stressed out. And I didn't have healthy coping mechanisms when it came to stress. I had two coping mechanisms that I was using. So the first was I was an emotional eater. So I would go to that crafty table sometimes every hour or so, or whenever I could get away, just to get out, go for a short walk, and then grab a piece of candy, grab a cookie, bring a few back to my desk. And I would just be eating sugar all day. And while that would make me feel good for a few minutes, ultimately, it made me feel even worse than I did before. I would have small energy crashes throughout the day. And then I would have that guilt and shame that goes along with eating something that's sugary and not so good for you. So that wasn't working for me. It also led to what I felt was substantial weight gain because my clothes were starting to get really tight. I remember there was this one moment, it was really my aha moment where I knew something needed to change when it was Halloween. I had created this skin tight Wonder Woman costume for myself. And even though I was so proud of that costume, looking back on the pictures from that Halloween just a few days later, I was like, oh my God, I hated the way I looked. It was such an aha moment for me. I wasn't doing any service to my body. I was gaining weight and I wasn't feeling good. And to me, I wasn't looking good. So I'll get back to that in a second. But my other coping mechanism for this extreme amount of stress I was under was to bottle it up, which is not a great coping mechanism because ultimately it would lead to my rock bottoms. And that was me in a bathroom stall, hyperventilating and having an anxiety attack. So I had emotional eating and I had anxiety attacks. And because of that, I was not happy and I definitely wasn't healthy. So I'd like to say this is the point where everything got amazing and better and I got healthy, but I had to spiral down a little bit further before I got to that point. So as soon as I had that aha moment of myself in the Wonder Woman costume, I knew that something needed to change. And as you know, there are so many different diets out there. You've got vegan, you've got paleo, you've got Atkins. This was 9 years ago at this point. So there were a lot of different options and I had no idea what to start, where to start, or what was even going to work for me. So I chose the simplest option of counting calories, calories in, calories out, and starting an exercise routine, which I had never had in my life before. So while that had some success for me, what I traded in the candy for lean cuisines. So the quality of what I was eating didn't get any better. I started restricting calories to 1,200 calories a day. So I was severely under eating. I became really obsessive about exercise and was working out 6, sometimes 7 days a week. I had hired a personal trainer, so I was really pushing myself to the limits. And I was beating myself up at every single moment. Even when I lost weight, I was still just on top of myself, beating myself up that, oh, you could have done more. Your measurements could have done better. The number on the scale, it could have been lower. And so while I lost 40 pounds in that process, it was not in a healthy way at all. My body was giving me very strong signs of that. My reproductive system had shut down. And even when I hit my skinniest at 129 pounds and 14% body fat, I was still as miserable, as exhausted, and as run down and burnt out as I had been at 172 pounds when I started my weight loss journey. So I'm happy to say that that's where things got better. I knew that what I was doing was not serving me. I knew that I couldn't keep losing weight because obviously it hadn't solved my problems. I realized that skinny does not equal happy. And so I knew that I had to find a better way. And that's when I feel so fortunate that the ancestral health and lifestyle crossed my path. And I dove into that. I dove into the paleo diet and it made so much sense to me. And that was really the gateway where I started eating quality food and being kind to myself. That mindset shift was huge. I started appreciating my body for what it could do and the strength that it had, instead of beating myself up, thinking that I could be better, I could be stronger, I could be skinnier. And the crazy thing was that so many of us have experienced this choosing the ancestral health lifestyle, but my energy just skyrocketed within a week of changing my eating habits and choosing the higher quality foods, cutting out the gluten, the dairy, the grains. I started sleeping so much better and my mindset just totally shifted. I started feeling more in control, more positive. And all of that had me showing up at work in a much more powerful way. And ultimately, it made work a lot more bearable and it helped me manage my stress levels a lot better so that I could find health and happiness at my job. Sorry, I know that was a really long explanation.
No worries at all. No, actually, that's the kind of stuff we like on this show. We want the guests to have the spotlight. So never be worried about a long explanation on The Appropriate Omnivore. I love that you shared your story because I think it is a story that a lot of people can relate to. And I think now is the time to hear about this because it's the fall. It is now the time where a lot of people are going back to work or they're wanting to start something new with the fall season. So I think that that's why we need to hear your story and that's why I have you on. There's obviously a lot of reasons that people with these busy schedules start eating unhealthy. Do you think there's a main reason that people do that?
I think there are two main reasons that people do this. So the first is that, like me, they don't know any better. They don't know what healthy is. They don't know what good eating to fuel their body is. Conventional wisdom has taught us eat grains, eat bread. It's the bottom of the food pyramid. And to avoid healthy fat, avoid certain things that actually give our bodies energy. So many people just don't know how to eat in a way to fuel their bodies and give themselves energy. But then another part of it is convenience. I can't tell you how many times I hear clients when I just start working with them that the drive-thru is their best friend because it's easy. It's a fast way to get a meal in the middle of the day. And because they just don't necessarily know that there is a better way, that's what they're choosing. And then also convenient snacks. And so many office break rooms have loads of sugary sweet snacks, just like that crafty table I was talking about on the TV sets. So stuff is there. Unhealthy food is there. It's easy. It's fast. It's a way for people who are on the go running between meetings to get a quick bite in when their stomach is grumbling and they're so hangry that they're about to eat their left hand. So yeah, it really comes down to, I think, convenience and the fact that a lot of people just don't know any better.
Yes. I work in the TV industry and I'm very familiar with the craft service they have there. And I used to think, oh, this was only an entertainment industry thing that they have food provided for everyone. But I've heard that that is a typical thing for office settings. They have it at insurance companies too and other businesses. And obviously you talked about how you had to deal with that. So after you discovered more eating healthy, eating clean, whatever we'll call it, did you find alternatives when you were at work and did you bring some of these in?
Yes, absolutely. So when I discovered clean eating, I took it to the extreme. And this is one great lesson that I learned that I've now kind of found other ways to help my clients with. So I took it upon myself to prepare almost every single bite of food that I was eating. I became the lunchbox queen. I was always bringing in food that I had meal prepped, snacks for the day, so that I had control over the quality of everything that I was eating. Sure, if there was something that piqued my interest at the crafty table, or if for some reason it was an extra long day on set and I ran out of food that I brought, yeah, absolutely. I would maybe take an apple or take a banana or make the smart choice at the crafty table. But I became a control freak with my food. And honestly, that's not a great option for a lot of busy people. I lost sleep because of it. I stressed out because of it. And I have learned in my experience that there are a lot of other ways that busy professionals can use to eat healthy without having to put in the time to meal prep. So I don't want anyone who's listening to think that just because they don't have time to prepare foods throughout the week, or they don't have time to make everything and bring it in the lunchbox, it doesn't mean that there aren't options.
I'm glad to know that, because it may surprise a lot of people, but I actually don't meal prep. I mean, I do loose meal prepping sometimes in my head, but I don't really like to make the whole lunches for the week. I have typically a rough idea, but I typically just do it the morning before, or sometimes not even that. Uh-huh. There's times where actually people see me in the office making my salads right there, and they're often impressed. They're like, nice. Wow, that's pretty elaborate what you're doing. So yeah, I would just rather do that. One thing I like to do some prep with, though, is not so much for the lunches. This is actually the area where I'm interested in hearing more of what you've done. But with the snacks, that's, I think, an important thing to address, because I think we more or less know what a healthy lunch is. I think a lot of times it can be the snacks. It's been that with me. Sometimes I've actually had a salad and that wasn't enough, and then I want to go for the candy. So I would like to hear what some of your thoughts are of what's an item they could bring in themselves for a healthy snack in the middle of the morning, between when they get there and when they're going to have lunch, or between after they've had lunch and they're waiting to go home?
Yeah, that's such a great question. And honestly, that's one of the most frequently asked questions I get from my clients and followers is, what are good snacks to eat? So I think that it's important to have a mix of snacks. So one, it is important to find snacks that are readily available in most grocery stores. This is addressing the convenience part of why people don't eat healthy when they're busy. So we are so fortunate. 8 years into my health journey, I have seen just the products explode, as I'm sure you have. Now it is so easy to walk into a grocery store and pick up a paleo snack, a keto snack, whatever diet snack you're looking for. It's just a matter of knowing what to choose or knowing what to look for. So two that I recommend that are available in not just natural grocery stores, but almost every other grocery store out there, as well as some convenience stores, are Epic Bars, which are like a meat jerky bar, and RX Bars, which have a combination of protein, carbohydrates, and some healthy fat. So both of those are great options. One's a little savory, the Epic Bars, and the RX Bars are a little bit more sweet. So depending on what your favorite flavor profile is, those are awesome options in a pinch. Easy to stop by a grocery store, maybe when you're driving to a meeting or to meet a client, and just stock up really quick. Then there are also other snacks that I am a huge fan of that take a little bit more preparation to get. They're not as easily found in stores, but you can find them online. Amazon will mail them to you in a couple days. So one of them is Wild Zora Foods Original Meat and Veggie Bars. And I love these because so many bars out there. Oh, good. Yeah.
Yes, I met Zora at shows, so I know her very well.
Oh, lovely. Yeah, I'm a huge fan of Wild Zora Foods and everything they're doing with their products, because they're just so perfect for that on-the-go lifestyle. But with so many bars out there, they are sweet. They're sweetened. They have dates in them. They have sugar, or more natural sugar, maple, stevia or stevia, whatever you want to call it. So Wild Zora Foods is doing something that's a little bit more unique, and they are creating a savory jerky bar that is made with high quality meats like grass-fed meat or pasture-raised chicken. And also in the bar are organic fruits and vegetables, which I don't know about you, but I very rarely see any bars out there that contain vegetables. So I think that this is a brilliant way to get a quality mixture of protein, vegetables to really energize your body, give your body the fuel that it needs to get you from that mid-morning snack to lunch or that mid-afternoon all the way to dinner. They can even be used as a meal replacement on the go. I'd recommend having maybe two or three of them, but they're a great option for that. And they're going to keep your blood sugar level, keep your energy steady, and keep you feeling good.
Yes, I know Zora is very big on that with a product. That part of it is you have the whole meal in these products. So I love those. And I like that you mentioned the Wild Zora and the Epic Bars, because those are ones that I've actually used for snacks. So tells me I'm doing something right. And I know some of the Epic Bars are a little sweet with the fruits, but there are some good ones that are just the meat and the salt. I know the Wild Venison is a good one if you're looking for a product that's not so sweet. But one thing I will say with putting these fruits in some of these grass-fed beef jerky bars is a lot of nutritionists I talk to say when you do eat fruit for a snack, it's important to eat it with a protein. Is that something that you preach?
Yes, absolutely. And I love that you bring that up, because carbohydrates, they do ultimately turn into sugar in our system. If we're getting that sugar from fruit sources, that's not a bad thing. But when we pair that with a protein or a healthy fat, it helps to slow down the absorption of that sugar. And what that does is to help keep your blood sugar levels more stable. And that in turn equals more steady, longer lasting energy. That's how you avoid the sugar roller coaster, those highs and then those crashes that leave you feeling exhausted and shaky and jittery and craving more sugar ultimately.
And earlier you were talking about with the snack ideas for work, the different types of diets such as paleo and keto. And we are hearing a lot. Keto is one of the newer ones. Now there's even carnivore. There's also Weston Price Wise Traditions, which allows for some grains as long as they're properly prepared. So what is your thought on, within this essentially ancestral health community, that there are a lot of differing opinions of which is the right diet?
That's a great question as well. My philosophy is that there is no one right diet for everyone. And that's something I've loved seeing in the health and wellness realm over the last 5 years, is just this idea of bioindividuality, that everyone's body is different. And so what works for one person isn't necessarily going to work for another person. And that's a huge foundational component of my health coaching practice, is helping people figure out what's going to work for them specifically, not the person next to them. So I think for myself, I found that paleo works really well for me. That's something that I've been following for over 5 years now. And I find that I feel really good. My energy is good. I'm able to maintain my weight loss fairly easily. But other people have found a lot of success with keto. I have two friends who are doing the carnivore diet and have been for over a year. They started in the paleo realm and transitioned into carnivore. And I'll actually share this with you. I'm currently doing a 30-day carnivore trial just because I enjoy trying different diets and seeing how they affect my body. I am my own best guinea pig. So I am on day 4 of the carnivore diet right now.
I imagine that's something that's very important for your practice, is trying a lot of these different diets, because you'll have clients that'll be interested in them. So I imagine it's a good thing to know what it's like to do them.
Absolutely. And that's always been a huge piece of my philosophy, is to lead by example. I don't like to, and I really try to avoid recommending, even though that's not really the word I want to use, or suggesting a diet that I haven't tried myself. It's really important to me to be able to provide ideas and thoughts for how to support someone on whatever diet they choose to go on based on having tried it, being able to have that firsthand experience, being able to foresee the potential challenges or the obstacles that might prevent someone from being successful with this diet that they're taking on or this lifestyle change that they're taking on. So I do get a lot of just joy and satisfaction in my own life and as a health coach, trying all these different things, seeing how they work, and then being able to bring awareness to my clients when they choose to take on certain dietary protocol.
Going back to what you said earlier, I agree with you. I don't think there is a one-size-fits-all diet, especially because we all come from different ethnicities, and there are some ethnicities that
yeah.
eat more of one thing than another. So it really is much about finding what best suits you. And as we talk a lot about the Ancestral Health Society and their annual conference, the Ancestral Health Symposium, that's another thing that I like about them, because I know a lot of people associate that very much with the paleo diet, and I do get the idea that the board members of it do recommend something along the lines of paleo and primal, but I also like that, and I think it's probably intentional, that they call it ancestral health because it feels like more of a tent with that name. And so for someone like me who comes from the Weston Price world, I liked it that they were even welcoming of that, because there was Laura Mathis, who is a holistic nutritionist and also a Weston Price chapter leader, and I was very pleased that she was able to even incorporate some of the principles of Weston Price in her presentation, where she talked about soaking grains and fermenting them. And
yes.
I think that that's a really nice thing about ancestral health, is it has that whole tent in there. I also think we are getting along more so than we were, say, maybe 5 years ago, because I remember at the earlier part of the decade, there was a lot of battle of these bloggers saying why I'm this diet and not this other one. And I think we are coming together more now. Even at the last Wise Traditions conference, Tom Naughton, the movie director of Fathead, he brought that up in his keynote about how there are all these different ones. He had a screenshot of the different names of them. And he says, I think that's actually a good thing that we're talking about this and challenging what's best.
Yeah, I agree. It's been so exciting to just see the shift over the last decade or so in this movement, and to see the sprouting up of all these different dietary theories and ideas. And ultimately, we don't have the answers right now about whether these are the long-term solution. I'm really curious to see when studies start coming out on people who have been in ketosis for a number of years and how that is impacting everything that's going on for them, or people who have been doing carnivore for a number of years. We don't have those answers just yet. So it's hard to say what is going to work in the long term. There are lots of great science backing it up, and kind of going back to what you were saying about these different perspectives being shared at AHS. We had the carnivore doctor, I forget what his name is, but he was there and he did a presentation, and it certainly butted heads with some of the other ideas presented in some of the other talks, but I did appreciate seeing the different perspectives there. And I did walk away with a little bit of food for thought based
no pun intended.
On his approach and what he shared. Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that is a good question about the long-term effect of the keto diet. And I have met a number of people within paleo and Price that kind of look at keto as maybe something that's good for short term, but not so much for a lifestyle.
Yeah, that's the consensus that I've been seeing in the research that I've done, but it's going to be really interesting to see what happens in the years to come. This is a little bit morbid, but I'll share it with you anyways. I'm really curious to see what the leaders of each movement, ultimately, what ends their life, what people start passing away from. Sorry if that's a little bit morbid, but it's going to be really interesting to see the longevity of the people leading each of these movements, and especially the people following them who have been doing these diets for decades or maybe 40, 50 years, and see how their health is 40, 50 years from now and what ultimately takes them out.
I think it's an important thing to look at. Now, we're talking a lot about the long-term effects of people on these diets, and one of the things with that is it's assuming that all of these people will stick with it. Of course, many do. I've known people who have been doing a lot of these different diets for years. But I think it is also a problem of sometimes people falling off the diet only after a short time of practicing it. So I'm interested to know, what are some tips you'd have for people to be able to continue eating well, especially when they're living this busy lifestyle?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a huge thing that I work with my clients on, because ultimately adopting these lifestyles, it's not about quick fixes or 30 days of this and then you go back to what you were doing before. It is about creating a sustainable lifestyle, and one where it doesn't make sense to do anything else, because the lifestyle that you've adopted is serving you so well. It's giving you energy. It's making you feel focused and mentally sharp. It's helping you sleep great at night. It's making your body feel good. It's making weight loss fairly effortless. So it's important to find that balance. How I do that with clients is really focusing on the behavior side of things. I had mentioned earlier, it's not at all about telling someone what to do. It is about working with them and helping people get to know themselves better so that they can take these overarching ideas of what helps to benefit health and apply them to their own lifestyle in a way that works for them. So an example of that is I had a client who came into me and she was like, I survive on peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I chuckled to myself because I'm like, wow, people still eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? That's great. Or that's pretty funny to find out. So she didn't just eat them as a survival mechanism. She actually really enjoyed them a lot. She got a lot of pleasure out of eating her peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So that wasn't something that was going to be effective to take away from her immediately. So what we did was we started transitioning the quality of the ingredients that she was using in yes. her peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. So instead of the Wonder Bread, we had her start to purchase the Ezekiel sprouted grain bread. Mm-hmm. Instead of Jiffy peanut butter, we had her start getting organic, high quality peanut butter that was only made from peanuts, that didn't have any of those industrial oils in them or sweeteners. And so she upgraded the quality of her peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which was a great first step. And then in that time, we were also working on just upgrading a lot of the other things that she was eating. And eventually, she hit a point where she was eating so much real food, whole food, clean food, and she just stopped eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. She was like, these don't really even taste that great to me anymore. They're just so sweet. I'd so much rather have a salmon fillet and a side of veggies. Wow. She's like, that to me tastes so much better now. And so that is a huge part of health coaching and the work that I do with clients. And that's why I say it's weight loss without adding one more to do to your list. Because with my health coaching sessions, what we're focused on is replacing the habits that you already have. We all have to eat. We all have to go to the grocery store, or well, maybe we don't, but we have to acquire groceries or meals in some way. We all usually snack. So how do we take those things that you're already doing and upgrade them? So it's not adding any more work to your plate, but we're swapping out those behaviors and creating a foundation of health that ultimately allows your body to begin to heal, the inflammation to decrease, and with that, the weight to come off. So kind of taking it back to your original question, what are some tips for helping for people to maintain their on-the-go lifestyle and maintain their nutrition is, one, I would say being prepared. Being prepared is key. So what I mean by that is having snacks stashed in your desk or your purse or your work bag or your car so that if you hit a point where healthy food is not available, you always have something that you can pick and you don't automatically default to the Twinkies in a moment of hanger. Also, one tip that I give my clients is to have a list of 5 local restaurants or cafes nearby your office or your house and a menu item at each of those restaurants that you can order for a healthy meal when you just don't have time to cook or to get something from the grocery store. So having a healthy meal already picked out so you don't have to use willpower, you don't have to try and tap into that decision-making when you're already decision-fatigued after a long day, and just be able to order that one thing that you know is going to work for you.
I like that you bring up local restaurants because I do still like to eat out. I'm a foodie and I like good food and haven't completely given that up, but I do like to choose healthier options. And so there are a couple of days where I do go out to eat during my lunchtime at work. One of my go-to things for a healthier meal is poke, which is very trendy now, at least in California.
Yes. That's a great option. I love that. It is so important when we go paleo or go keto or whatever diet it is that you're choosing to take on, even if it's just a cleaner style of eating, it doesn't necessarily fall under one of those labels. We don't want to change your entire life and prevent you from ever going out to eat again. This is not about making you a hermit who stays in your kitchen and only meal preps and never sees their friends because they can't go out to a restaurant anymore. It's about finding ways to honor your clean eating goals and habits and also live your life. Sometimes it's better to really just enjoy and love the food you're eating, even if it's not the cleanest meal. And the enjoyment that you get from spending time with friends, from socializing, being around people you care about, getting out of your house, that can almost be more valuable than eating the cleanest meal on earth.
So we've talked about eating out sometimes and choosing a healthier option. We've talked about items that you can bring into work. Another trend that I'm seeing now in the real food world is I'm seeing some frozen meals that actually use real ingredients and aren't filled with all of these preservatives. Are you familiar at all with this?
Yeah, I am really excited to see this happening in the food industry. I think that this is not just an amazing tool for the average eater, but it's really great for those busy professionals who are on the run. It's really exciting to see next to the Lean Cuisines, next to the other frozen meals, these higher quality brands. So some of those include Beatnik Foods, Grandcesters, Great Value, the ones at Walmart, which I've tried. And while they're not the best thing ever, they do the job. They get it done and they taste pretty good. Tastefully Plated is another one. True Fare is another great option. So I'm so excited to see these becoming more and more prominent because they make getting a healthy meal when you don't have time or energy very, very easy. So I've been sharing these with my clients and telling them it's great to just keep these in your fridge at home. It's great to keep these in your office freezer so that when the meeting runs long or when you don't get home until 10 p.m. at night and you're starving, you have something that you can easily throw in the microwave, heat, and eat. And sure, we could probably talk about how because they're frozen or whatever, maybe they're not as nutrient dense as eating the meal fresh or right out of the oven. But I think that these are a far better choice than choosing the Lean Cuisine or choosing one of the frozen meals that's going to be laden with artificial ingredients and refined sugars. So I'm all for this. I think that this is a really great trend that we're seeing.
I'm completely for it too. I'm familiar with a lot of the products that you mentioned. Another frozen paleo meal product that I would recommend is Primitive Feast. I know it's available mainly here in Southern California, but hopefully we'll be reaching other parts of the country soon. So obviously there's a lot of different tips you have from prepping your meals for work to storing food in there for when you have a snack to even going out and buying some frozen meals in case you don't have the time to cook meals with a busy schedule. And I know also you'll be teaching a weight loss class. So is some of the things that we're talking about on the show, is that going to be included in your weight loss class?
Yes, it sure is. It's going to be a group coaching program. And it's called the Busy But Healthy Babes Weight Loss Group. So this is a women-only group. And it's not so much a class as it is a group coaching program. So what the difference is that yes, there will absolutely be education included as part of this class. It is an 8-week program. It's broken down into specific ideas for each week, some of which include clean eating for weight loss, identifying your hunger and fullness cues, managing stress to boost your metabolism, etc. But instead of just sitting and listening to me talk and educate for an hour and a half, it is about creating a group dynamic and having that group support, that group accountability. So after the educational component for each group coaching session, every person who is a part of the group, and I'm limiting it to just 8 people to make sure that everyone has time to get this one-on-one attention, but we will spend time talking with each person in front of the group, talking about their challenges, their obstacles, how this information for each week relates to them, so that they can gain a little bit more clarity on their weight loss journey and really start to apply these principles to their own busy life. And there's something really powerful about witnessing other people going through the process, which is why I love group coaching programs so much. Because even though all of an attendee or participant's challenges won't be able to be addressed in a 10-minute chunk of one-on-one coaching, there's so much to learn from the other women who are there going through a very similar process. So the attendee will walk away with so many different ideas that maybe they didn't even think of were part of their challenge when they walked into that session. But they walk away with a greater understanding and a greater awareness of what's going on in their own journey because they are seeing other women go through it alongside them.
That's good. And when does the class start?
The group coaching program, it starts on September 24th. So I'm really trying to capitalize on this great momentum that people are creating with transitioning from summer into fall, starting to get their healthy habits back in alignment and get things really buttoned down for the holidays, because believe it or not, those are right around the corner. So I'm really hoping that this group coaching program gives women the opportunity to create some really wonderful, healthy habits. We'll get a chance to kind of test them through the Halloween season and then even through the Thanksgiving season so that we can come back and troubleshoot, see what worked and what didn't, so that then they can ultimately walk away with some pretty ironclad habits to not only get them through the Christmas season or Hanukkah season, making the best decisions for themselves and their weight loss journey, but then really just lay the foundation for their upcoming year and the rest of their life with some really wonderful, healthy habits that not just help them lose weight, but also maintain their weight loss in a way that is effortless because it's their normal. It's what they do.
Wow. Ellen, lots of great information that you have given us here, and love to hear your personal success story. So we're just about out of time, but before we go, why don't you tell the listeners the website where they can learn more about your practice? Any women listening, they can sign up for the class if they want, and they can read all of your wonderful articles about how to maintain eating healthy and find good foods to eat.
Listeners can find me at www.triplepeakwellness.com, and that's peak, P-E-A-K. For information about the Busy But Healthy Babes weight loss group, you can find that under the Work With Me tab. That should be right up top, one of the first things you see. And there is a page there with more information. It talks about what we're going to be focusing on every week of this 8-week program. It gives details about what you can expect from the program and what you need to know about when it meets, what the cost is, and how to register. And like I said, I'm limiting this to 8 seats so that everyone gets one-on-one time each week. So if this is something that you're interested in, definitely go register now so you can save that seat for yourself.
Great to have you on the program, and I look forward to hearing what successes you have with this upcoming fall and holiday season, and then what's to come in the new year.
Thank you so much, Aaron. It's been an absolute pleasure talking with you, and I really appreciate the great conversation that we had and the chance to nerd out about health.
That's all for this episode of The Appropriate Omnivore. You can listen to past podcasts, plus read my blog articles on the website appropriateomnivore.com. You can also find my podcasts on iTunes and Stitcher, and you can follow me on Facebook and Instagram to be notified of my next podcast.